Welcome to the family at World Harvest Outreach.
So, can I be real with my concern for speaking today? Just kind of an overall concern. And I don't think it's just me speaking. I think this is just an overall concern I have for people who are speaking today at churches. I have this concern that all over America right now, people are either sitting in churches, and thank God we get to sit in church here, right? I mean, or they're watching online, and they're looking at someone from a pulpit to validate their political ideology or opinion. That's my concern, is that people have walked out. I'm not saying nobody here, obviously, right? Nobody here. If you can't laugh at yourself, then don't laugh at anybody else. But I'm very concerned that across America, people are just waiting for a preacher or somebody or a teacher or somebody from a pulpit either to do this over here or to do that over there. And for either one of them, they better align with my political ideology or I throw out everything that they say. And I have a secret for you. It is not my job, nor is it Mark's job, to validate your political belief. Like, I'm not even asking your permission on this one. I'm actually removing myself, that responsibility from myself, because that's not my job. My job, my focus needs to be to bring you Jesus. And if I bring you political belief, and if I steer on the side of this, or if I steer on the side of that, I'm giving you less than Jesus, and I'm cheating you if I do it. Yeah. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm really passionate right now. Like, I'm really kind of like, okay. It's my belief that politics is perverted government. Listen to what I'm telling you. Politics is perverted government. It's lesser. It's the game we play in order to get to something that we think, a semblance of government. And just like anything else that's perverted, what it does, what it's meant to do, through its perversion, is to continue to bring you down, and play in the politics or in the perversion so that you cannot experience the purity of what was designed. It is pornography. You hear what I'm saying? Because my politics make me feel and justify me so I could play in that mud to the point that I can't look and say, oh, you know what? There's actually a whole other people on that side over there that they may not agree with me, but they're hurting. Right. But I actually can't impact you because my politics are here. Like, I literally feel like weeping for this country. And it's not because I'm sad that we play this game of perversion. Like, we stare at this centerfold of politics. And Jesus is over here like, hey, I have pure government here for you. I am pure and righteous and unadulterated and just like beautiful government over here waiting and established for you. And if you would stop looking at that centerfold and turn over to me, you would be able to see what is possible. I said this when we thought the election was over, like back, it feels like years ago. If your hope rested on the result of this election, I promise you, you're settling for a lower version of hope than is what is actually available to you. It is less than and it is counterfeit. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have government in this country. And I'm not an anarchist. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we're operating lower than we were designed. And that's what's happening in this country. It's a perversion. It's truly a perversion. I know, you know, we put out that video where, like, we talked that we are going to talk about things that are happening in the earth. And I was like, I wish I could go back and delete that video just this week. And then I'm like, who set up this schedule that I'm speaking after what happened? Like, I'm like, what? Who? Well, here I am. No, I know you did. You offered. Don't ever take that offer. If somebody offers you the easy way out, don't take it. That was the easy way out. They offer you the easy way out. Don't take it. Because you know where you'll be later? Back to the hard way that you're going to have to do it. All right? That's just a free one. It has nothing to do with anything. But it's true, right? All right. Here's my message to you. You know why I'm not political? Because I don't follow politics, but I think I understand government, like the way it was designed. But I'm not going to give you you know the funny thing is, before we moved here in New York City, I was a history teacher, but you don't teach history up until high school. In high school, you teach like the civics, yeah, right, and government, yeah, classes. And the first class that I taught, the first class of the year, you know what I give the students? I give them the naturalization test. I give them the naturalization test. You know what the naturalization test is? No? Okay. The naturalization test is the test that somebody who's going through the process of becoming a citizen needs to take in order to become a citizen. All right? I don't remember how many questions it is, but it's a whole bunch of questions. It deals with all, like, politics. Well, it actually deals with history and government, and actually doesn't deal with politics at all, which is interesting. It doesn't deal with politics at all. It deals with government and history and how our nation is set up, and every single one of my students fails it. Every single one of them. Like embarrassingly fail it. Like, you ever watch on, like, YouTube when they go on the street and they're like, who won the Civil War? And they're like, America! And you're like, well, you're half right, I guess. Yay! And you're like, all right. And you're kind of embarrassed. Yeah. That's what it was like. So this is kind of my message here. Going back to this idea of that politics is perversion, it's because it's meant to divide us, right? Right? We understand that. And no matter how many times, how many times have you heard this? It's time to unite. Now is the time to unite, right? And you're like, yeah, it's time to unite. And then you're like, but not with them, right? Like, let's unite with us, but not with, we got to reach across the aisle. Okay, but not over there, right? Not because those, and that's politics. Like, it's just bringing you down. And it's designed that way. And then what happens is you come to a place like this and you're like, you know, validate my politics, right? I told you it's not my job. And validate your politics so I could feel like I'm on the right side. And here's my news to you. Okay, here's my news to you. Brace yourself. God is not on your side. Let that settle in for you. God is not on your side. He's better than that. God is for you. And if you don't understand the differences, it's because we play politics too much. Here's the difference between God being on my side, the idea that God is on my side, rather than God is for me. When I say God is on my side, what I'm asking him to do is to validate something of my construct, something that I build, and he's on my side because I'm thinking this way as far as policy. God's on my side. But sometimes your side is a load of crap. Sorry. Oops. Sometimes your side is such a load of horse manure that you can't even see that it's killing you, but you're excited because God's on your side. And what's better is that God is for you so much that he would say, hey, I'm not for that thing that you think is on your side. Does that make sense? I'm not on your side. Not with that. I'm better. I'm for you. So, because I'm for you, I will contend against your side so that I can grow you, because the only side that truly exists is Jesus. He is the side, and he encompasses every portion of the side. Does that make sense? Yeah. So stop trying to play these political games. Not anybody here, but stop, of course. But stop trying to play the political games that God's on our side because I'm a Republican, or God's on my side because I'm Democrat, because Jesus was neither. What Jesus is righteous. And I think in this area of the country, it would be hard, if I said this, there's righteousness on the Democratic side. It's hard to say that in here. But if I was in New York City, where I'm from, it would be hard for me to say there's righteousness on the Republican side. So here we are. Politics. We've just played politics. He's not on your side. He's for you. And if he is for you, who could stand against? Even you. Because sometimes you stand against God because you have picked a side that he is not interested in. Are you hearing me? So we're talking about closing the gap, heaven's perspective. Heaven's perspective is, I don't have to, I'm not taking a side. Jesus is like, here I am. On the side. Why would I take a side if I'm the side? I'm it. So now you have to reconcile that part of him is on that other side of the aisle. So, look at that. I must have said something right. God has just illuminated the... You may have seen this on Facebook. Who knows how to fold a fitted sheet?
We all do now.
We should all do now. All right. Okay. Say hello to America. America is frustrating. Here it is. This is America. And what so many of us do, because we can't figure out how to fold this thing, is we take it. Don't act like you don't know, right? You're just shaking your head. Like, hey. That's good enough, right? That's good enough. All right, cool. And then when I need it, now, you know what? I'm not going to iron this because nobody sees this. Like, I'm going to just put it on. It could be just a mess. And this here is America, right here. But you know what? I love a fitted sheet. Do you like a fitted sheet? You ever try to, like, not use a fitted sheet and use a flat sheet on top of a mattress? Have you just lied on a mattress? Like, I realize I say that here in America and other countries are like, mattress? What are you talking about? But, all right, let's... We got what we got, so we're going to deal with what we got. We got what we got here, all right? We got what we got here. First world problems. So we're talking about this through a first world problem perspective. So I'm trying to figure out how to fold this fitted sheet. And you know what the problem with this fitted sheet is? What's the problem with folding the fitted sheet? What? The elastic. The elastic is actually the biggest problem with folding the fitted sheet. But you want to know something about the elastic? It's actually the smallest percentage of the fitted sheet. So here we are. We just try. This is what we do in this country. Let me get this elastic together. Let me just focus on the problem. Let me just focus here. I'm going to focus on this. And I focus on this, and I get so frustrated that what does it turn out to be? It turns out to be this thrown into a corner. That's what happens. I'm just trying to do laundry. I'm just trying to get my stuff together. But there's only really one way to fold this fitted sheet. There's only one way. I'm going to show you right now. So you're not just going to walk out with my, you know, political, you know, you're actually going to learn how to fold a fitted sheet. The only way that you could fold a fitted sheet is you got to get into the corners of the left and the right. You got to get in there. And then what you have to do is you have to bring the left and the right together. Just like that. It's the only way to do it. Is this too subtle to what's going on in the world? Am I being too subtle? Because guess what? If I try to bring the sides farther apart, or if I try to focus on the smallest part, which is the loudest part, this is the loudest part. Watch, I'll show you. Wow, 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 wow. Right? There it is. But if I actually get into the right and the left, and I can bring them all together, they fold in on itself and they become one. Because this is how we were designed. This. There's actually a right and a left not to be in conflict with each other, but there's a right and a left to cover the breadth of understanding of who God is. So I got to take it, I got to fold it in on each other. I got to take the other side, and you know what? I got to do the same. I got to figure out, okay, how do I get the right and the left? How do I get it to fold in on each other? And if I could do that, and it's kind of hard, because there's going to be times where they just don't agree. Hold up, I lost myself. And sometimes you're going to lose yourself. But you got to get the right and the left to fold in on each other. And if you could do that, you start recognizing, whoa, this thing is starting to come together. I seem to have half the problems I used to have. And then you know what? You got to dig a little deeper. And you got to take the right and the left, and you got to fold them in on each other. Just to make sure that we're looking at the entirety of everything that we got. Well, we got people that think that way. We got people that think this way. It's not going to work if I villainize them. So guess what? Once I get the right and the left to fold in on each other, you know what happens to that nasty elastic? It gets really contained. It gets really contained. It's actually really settled. It actually starts to look pretty cool. I actually could see where we're going. Maybe you can't see where I'm going over there. But here I go. Once I'm here, well, I could start folding this in on each other. Oh my, I'm starting to see straight lines. I can fold this in, and I'm starting to see straight lines. I fold it in, and next thing you know, I have a folded fitted sheet. This is what Jesus looks like. Jesus looks like a fitted sheet, and inside him is all this kind of chaos that we see. The right and the left are in here, and they're actually unified and working together. The elastic, it's in here, and it's actually contained, and we're actually able to, like, we can actually work with it. The elastic is lining up together. This is what Jesus looks like. Because the only way forward is together. The only way forward. But if we continue down the road, look, I heard somebody say this week. I don't know who said it. It's really well-intentioned. So I'm not against it. But somebody said, like, only Jesus can save us now. Anybody else hear that? Maybe only Jesus can save us now. And I think Jesus is like, I have to save you again? I think I did a whole bunch of saving. Like, I think I took care of saving like for all of eternity. Yeah. So I would love to amend that sentence or that statement. And I would love to say, only you choosing Jesus will save us now. The individual. Because it's not a question about is unity worth it? The question is, what are you willing to sacrifice to achieve unity? Jesus makes some statements. You remember the one where he says, if you love your mother or father more than me, what? What did he say? Then you're not worthy of me. You don't deserve me. Like, man, you sit there and like, Jesus, woohoo. That's arrogant. But if that's the truth, and if Jesus walked in there, if he walked in that room, would I be able to give up my politics, my political affiliation? Well, what would I sacrifice to be unified with the crown jewel of heaven? And if the answer isn't everything, then we don't understand his value. Because the moment I sacrifice everything for the crown jewel of heaven, what does he give you? Everything. Everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added. There's no better way to seek the kingdom of God than to, with hunger and zeal and diligence and intentionality and purpose and love and honor, to pursue the one who has pursued you. There's no better way. Do that. You want a formula for seeking the kingdom of God first? Go after Jesus. Just go after Jesus. So, what do I have, 10 minutes? 10 minutes. Remember in Isaiah 9? Bring up Isaiah 9. I sent Anderson a bunch of scriptures, and I was like, I don't know where I'm going to get to them. Like, everybody knows this verse, right? Or everybody knows this passage. Because when we're talking about closing the gap, I think we need to close the gap of what God's idea of government is and what our idea of government is. I already told you, our idea of government is, I play the politics, you give me the vote. It's actually a beautiful capitalistic exchange. And I love capitalism, but that's how it goes. I tell you what you want to hear, and what do you, I exchange? I get the vote. Hopefully, you do the thing that I want to do, but after I've given you the vote, I don't really have any recourse if you do that thing or not, but here we are, all right? We've made the exchange. Thank you. And Jesus has this better way. And he said, and this is the prophecy of Jesus, you know this, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And this is where we trip up, because this is where we play, where we're thinking about politics, right? Well, the policy needs to be this of the country, and the policy needs to be that, and the policy, and if we change this law and we change that law and we do this, we do that, we do this, and guess what? Then the government will be on his shoulders. But he did not say that. That's not what it's saying. Because you can find, like, just read the Bible and you can see that the written law, that was not, he was, I'm writing this law on your heart. So this deterrent of a written law out here, hopefully with a punishment, it's not going to get to you. I have to put it on your heart. And the way I have to put it, the only way I can put it on your heart is if I reveal the law in walking, living flesh. And that's Jesus. And then I can put that thing, I can put the law in your heart in breathing flesh. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Thank you, Jesus. Go to the next verse. There will be no end to the increase of, and now there's a different word. It is so much a better word because it doesn't say the government. It says a really important word here, his government. His government. Or of peace. And I want to go back to his government, but just listen. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So the question that we have to ask is, what is his government? What is his government? And his government, can I give you some opinion? Am I good to give your opinion? My opinion about his government is that you have to go back to his design. The perfect government is the government of family. Family is the perfect governmental structure. And the reason that family is the perfect governmental structure is because it's built on relationship. It's built on relationship and vested interest. Because if you don't have vested interest in your children, if you don't have skin in the game, and with your children, you have skin in the game, and you have a relationship, you can... Hey, have you noticed that you can govern your family well without politics? How much politics do you play in your house? Well, that's a different thing. That's wisdom. That's a conversation. But nobody sits around and goes like this. All right, children, me and mom disagree. And I'm going to state my case. And she's going to state her case. And you're going to vote. You know, I would love for a family to do that. Not my family, but I would love to watch your family do that. I'll take notes and I'll see how that goes. You're going to have chaos. Look, Wayne's laughing. He's like, I want to see somebody do it too, and then I'll counsel them. I'll be here. I know what you're doing. I'll see you. I'll bring them over there. You don't play politics in your house. You don't play politics in your home, but you govern it. You govern it. You govern your home. And sometimes, even within your home, you have a right and a left that you need to bring together and fold in on each other. And when you're able to do that, guess what? The government of your home remains strong and you raise amazing children. So how is it possible that this government of his actually moves, continues? It's because this whole earth is created or is filled with these little tiny governments. These little tiny governments. So you want to do something extremely practical to change all of this crap that we're going through? Govern your family well. Govern your family righteously. Because while we're trying to do all this stuff on the macro, I'm going to change this law, I'm going to change that law, our children are running around without direction. It comes down to family. It comes down to family. And while we have, this is what we've done. We forfeited over what is supposed to happen within our families to the government that can never be relational to you. It's not going to know your situation and your situation and your situation and how your situation is different. The only way, and this is why God loves family so much, because the only way I can govern you well is to be able to look in your eyes and say, okay, well, this is how we govern, but let's talk. Okay? I hear that? Or we're going to have to do something here. That's actually possible within family. And once again, I'm not saying that we don't need larger government, but if you're sitting there waiting for it to be relational for you, if you're waiting for your politics or your political party to come and hug you and make you feel good, you're going to be waiting for a while. It's not going to make you feel good. Because guess what? In this country, I'm sure that there are Christians out there that feel like God actually let them down. And it wasn't God that let you down. It was your politics or your political party. And God, Jesus himself, is like, oh, I have a better way for you. I have a better way. I have a way of love. I have a way of honor. I have a way of righteousness. And that's why Jesus, could look at both the right and the left of our country, and he could, in the eyes, you know what? I see that situation. And instead of just throwing laws at you, what I need to do is I have to embrace. And in that embrace is going to be like, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. There's the both. There's a, hey, you got to pull yourself over up by your bootstraps, but I understand that you have some obstacles. I'm going to help you. That can exist. Does anybody think it can't exist? I'll take that as a no. And this is why family, and this is why I believe church family is a part of this. Because when there are like just limping families going by, we can say, okay, you know what? Let's get people together. Let's bind them together. Let's unite. Let's show them what family looks like. Because if we continue with thinking that that political party or this political party is going to give you the answers, I feel like you're going to be disappointed. So, this month is about relational discourse. I don't have an answer for you other than a question. And it's one you have to ask yourself. It's one I've asked before. What are you willing to sacrifice for unity? It's a hard one. It is a hard one. Because it's a very individual question, right? But we almost have to answer it as a collective too. Is you more valuable than my policy? And how about this? How about, hey, you know what? That policy over there is kind of good. Maybe I should change some of the things I'm thinking or doing. I'm not trying to bring it down into the mud, but this needs to go both ways. You will not be able to navigate through any type of relational discourse. Mark said this last week. If I got it wrong, I'm sorry. But I believe what you said was that you have to maintain a position that you're not always right. Right? But you have to couple that also, and there's a book I read or been reading. It takes me a long time to read books, but you also have to consider that the other person has something to teach you. I didn't write that. That's not. But if I can walk into any situation and actually honor you in a way that says, you know what, not only am I not always right, but maybe you have something to teach me. It's the only practical way I can think. That we're gonna, and you know what? Still political, like relational discourse is gonna happen. But if you go into these situations and you know I'm not right all the time, and if you are right all the time, I don't know if I wanna be in a relationship with you. I'll be honest. Like, I wanna be right sometimes. Like, maybe selfishly. If you're right all the time, this is gonna be boring, right? But if you have something to teach me also, you know what that means? That means we can grow together. It's the only practical way I can think of it. And families are great places to practice these things. Because not only does your wife or your child, your father, your mother, all these people set into place, not only are not they not right all the time, but they have something to teach you and you to them. So, I want to pray, because I know we promised to get you out of here at 11:30. Stand up, because I want to pray something here. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. I hope you understand that, look, the reason I don't talk politics is because I don't follow politics much, for the reason that I said. I don't think that means that we can't be active. But I think we need to be, okay, I'm just going to pray. And you'll hear, shut up and pray. Father, I don't want to be an advocate for a political agenda or ideology. I actually want to be an advocate for righteousness. So, Father, would you give me eyes to see that your righteousness actually exists in the right and the left? That you're flowing through, and that in the right and the left, you're actually showing us the breadth of everything that you're looking at. Your compassion. Your humility. Your discipline. All those things that I think are opposites are actually trying to work together to give you the entirety of who God is. So, Father, I for myself and for this family, I pray that we be advocates for righteousness and not just righteousness wrapped up in political opinion, policy, or ideology, but righteousness in the real. Like hand-touching shoulder righteousness. Like, follow me as I follow Christ righteousness. Like, hey, you know what? You're better than that, and I know you are righteousness. Like, I love you. That type of righteousness. I love you enough not to be on your side, but to be for you. That type of righteousness. The righteousness that says, I'm going to contend for you. The righteousness that values justice and the righteousness that values restoration. That type of righteousness. Father, I know it's in us because it's in you and you created us and you are in us. So thank you. Because, man, if there ever was an opportunity, it's now. And if you're not seeing the opportunities for the need, and you're being willfully blind. So Jesus, I'm not going to say put it in us because you put it in us. But Father, I pray that 2021 is actually the manifestation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I was a minute off. I'm sorry. All right, I love you, and go. Be righteousness.
World Harvest Outreach is located in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, but we have family around the world. To connect with us, visit us at whocenterpa.com.